Hello and welcome to Health Hacks with Dr. Laura, a mini episode of the Well Women podcast coming to you bi-weekly in order to help you hack your life. Hello and welcome to Health Hacks with Dr. Laura. I am Dr. Laura. Today I wanted to talk about 10 tips to help you optimize your fertility. So, whether or not you've thought about starting a family or growing your family, there's so many things to think about when deciding whether or not you're ready to bring children into the world. But not many people actually consider their ability to conceive as one of those factors. We go through life kind of almost preventing, we prevent conception through the use of contraception. And so, not a lot of us think about factors that could actually impact our fertility long term. So, whatever your goals are for this year, it's never too early to start optimizing your fertility. As a naturopathic doctor, you know, I know, my goal is to educate patients to ensure that they have all of the tools so that they need to reach the goals they want. And fertility is no exception. So today I want to talk to you about my top 10 tips that you can start using today to optimize your fertility. So some people assume that whenever you're ready for kids, the next step is just to get pregnant. And although for some that may be true, many do struggle with infertility for a variety of reasons. It is important that if you're wanting to conceive in the future, you need to start with monitoring your menstrual cycle because this is your body's way of letting you know what is and what may not be going on. I always tell all of my patients the number one thing they need to do is download an app. So the first tip is start tracking and start early. There are plenty of free options when it comes to period trackers. I've personally used Kindara, Glow, Flow. Each of them have their own benefits, but really what you're looking for is something that allows you to track your symptoms, monitor your temperature, and track your cycle. This gives you a ton of information about how your hormones are balanced, when you ovulate, if you ovulate at all, and can give you clues as to whether or not something else may be going on. I usually recommend tracking your cycle for about 3 to 6 months in order to establish patterns in your hormones because 1 month doesn't give you a ton of information to work with. Tip number two is getting yourself thoroughly assessed. So, although tracking your cycle can give you a lot of information with respect to fertility, it is crucial to have lab values to work from in order to be able to determine where the root cause of fertility issues may lie and where treatment really needs to begin. So, some important lab values and workups to ask your naturopathic doctor or medical doctor to include. I'm just going to list a few. So, number one is your yearly physical exam. This can actually give your doctor an idea of specific labs or tests that they should be running. So it's good to kind of put your health in their hands so that if you don't know what you're supposed to be asking for, you can really just go into your doctor and say, "Listen, my partner and I have been talking about wanting to conceive, and this is kind of what our goals are for this timeline and what do we need to do?" So they can really kind of walk you through that. The second thing is getting a CBC, so complete blood count. This is usually done on kind of any blood work. This is kind of the standard. We usually do a complete blood count. This is looking at your red blood cells as well as your white blood cells, sorry. And this will let your doctor know if there's any infections going on, and this can begin necessary further investigations. So, for example, if you have a low hemoglobin, that can warrant further investigations into iron status, B12, folic acid, those sorts of things. If your white blood cells are off, that can let us know if there's any infections going on that we need to look into further. And the last thing I'm going to say in terms of lab testing importance is looking at your thyroid hormone. So your thyroid stimulating hormone, your hormones are critical. Your thyroid hormones are critical to the development of a fetus. So getting these levels checked and ensuring that they're at the appropriate level is really critical to conception. All other investigations are to be ordered on an individual basis. And again, this is going to be based on your health history, based on your physical exam. My next tip is making sure you're on the right supplements. So, being on a good quality prenatal supplement is very important when we're planning to conceive. These tend to have most, if not all, the nutrients that require a healthy pregnancy, that are required for a healthy pregnancy. A common concern with prenatal supplements is that some of them can actually cause nausea and constipation. This can be a large barrier for women trying to take the recommended dose. A lot of times, prenatal supplements will be 3 capsules a day. So for some women, this can be hard if it's causing them constipation or nausea or stomach upset. So it is important to know that there are many different types of prenatal vitamins, which vary in their quality, formulations, dosing, and form of nutrients. For example, some forms of iron are actually less well absorbed and will have the tendency to constipate you. So it's important to talk to your naturopathic doctor when you're considering any prenatal supplements, because they'll let you know what the best ones are, what nutrients you should be looking for, what form they should be in, and that's really, really important for the health of your baby. My next tip is ditch the coffee. Unfortunately, when trying to conceive, it may be smart to put an end to your daily cup of joe. However, you can have one coffee, but research does show that caffeine consumption over 500 milligrams per day can delay conception time by about 11%. And there is something to be said about having too much caffeine in pregnancy. So it's best to just stick to, if you're going to have coffee or caffeine, stick to one beverage a day, and then you know you're well under the kind of recommended. My next tip is removing alcohol. You and your partner may have to play designated driver if you're looking to conceive. Research does show that females consuming alcohol are 2.26 times more likely not to conceive in a cycle and 2.21 times more likely to miscarry. Males consuming alcohol have also been associated with an increased risk of not being able to achieve a birth by 2.28 times, and beer specifically has been shown to have a negative impact. Further, consuming only one drink in a cycle reduced a woman's conception likelihood by 50%. So I often just recommend that, especially if you're trying to conceive, there is a window of conception, which is obviously around your fertile period, around that area of ovulation. And then before then and after then, it's kind of really more unlikely to get pregnant. And now some women might be inclined to have a beverage on either end of that. However, one thing to note is that your conception can go down, but also if you have conceived in that fertile window, it's not a great idea to have a beverage after that fertile window, because we won't know really until our missed period if we're actually pregnant. So it is a really good idea to abstain, especially when you know you are trying to get pregnant. It might just be a good idea to just stop that consumption altogether. My next tip is avoid smoking, and this is actually including marijuana. Smoking tobacco is known to have many dangerous health effects. Cigarette smoking has been specifically linked to an increased time to conception compared to people who have never smoked. There is also evidence linking smoking to negative outcomes in infants, including higher rates of congenital heart defects, limb abnormalities, and central nervous system malformation. So that's pretty scary. As marijuana has increased in its popularity and its use, and now that it's legal, it is important to note that the research on impacts of marijuana smoking do have an impact on fertility and conception. It is important to also get your partner on board as well. Studies have consistently showed that marijuana can negatively impact male fertility through its accumulation in the testicular membranes and its ability to decrease sperm concentration, reduce motility, viability, and morphology. Because it can take up to 90 days for sperm to become mature, it is important to have this conversation to plan to stop marijuana use within an appropriate time frame. So 3 months might be the time frame. Further, marijuana use in women has actually been shown to inhibit regular ovulation and lead to menstrual cycle abnormalities. So I do want to note, though, that there has been some recent research that's come up with respect to marijuana use in men and increasing sperm count and increasing testosterone levels. And so I want to highlight that the research actually isn't very clear, and that research that has come up in saying that testosterone levels are actually higher in men who smoke marijuana, or consume marijuana, it's very interesting to actually get down to it and look at the research, because the conclusions of that specific study were unclear. So although they did come to that slight conclusion, the researchers didn't know what other confounding factors had to do with that, because their results weren't all cut and dry. There was a lot of gray area when it came to getting those results of that particular study. One thing that they noted is that men who, so yes, they correlated men who smoked marijuana with higher testosterone levels. However, it was hard to link that specifically to the marijuana use. They thought that possibly testosterone levels increased in men could actually lead them to seek out behaviors such as marijuana use. So it didn't imply causation. So that's the one thing, is any study that we have with respect to marijuana in humans, a lot of the time is by a frequency questionnaire. So they'll ask men, they'll sit them down, and they'll say, How often do you smoke marijuana? And they will fill out this chart, and then based on that, they'll do studies on their sperm and they'll use those factors. And now they try to correct for any confounding factors. So if there's other things going on that they think may impact testosterone, obviously they kind of correct for that. And then they say, okay, people who smoked a little bit, people who smoked a moderate amount, and people who smoked a lot, these are the categories. And then they come up with basically conclusions based on that. So with this specific study, they found that men who smoked marijuana had increased sperm concentrations, increased testosterone, but then they also found that men who started smoking marijuana later in life actually had lower sperm concentrations. So again, they couldn't come to any conclusions, and the study actually said in itself that they thought that it could be a possibility that their results were often due to chance. And so that doesn't really give us enough clear information. And to be honest, with respect to fertility and recommendations, I would say that if we don't know that something's beneficial and we think that it may be detrimental, then it would be best to avoid it. I don't think that it's going to benefit your baby. There's not enough research to show that it harms your baby in terms of from a men's health perspective, from the quality of sperm and the level of testosterone. But I do think that it's a good idea to abstain nonetheless. And a lot of the other research is done in vitro. So a lot of the research is just done in sperm that's actually in a test tube. So again, it's hard to draw conclusions in your kind of in vivo, which is in a person. My next step is to eat smart. So a common misconception is that when you're carrying a child, you are eating for two. This can actually result in poor dietary habits, can lead to unhealthy and unnecessary weight gain throughout pregnancy. And really, an addition of about 200 calories a day is usually sufficient for a pregnant mom and her babe, as long as the calories are coming from appropriate sources. So leading up to conception, a proper diet is required, and there's certain foods have been shown to impact fertility. So some guidelines is vegetables should cover at least half of your plate each meal. Plant protein sources should make up most of the protein, so reducing animal protein, substituting with beans, legumes, and other sources of plant protein. Get foods high in iron, so that's leafy greens, lean meats, healthy oils, olive oil, eating fish 2 to 3 times a week, avocado oil, eggs. Replace your refined carbohydrates for complex ones. So we're looking at, in this case, whole grain rice, we're looking at quinoa, and then consuming full fat dairy. So low fat dairy has actually specifically been shown to impair fertility. And lastly, nuts and seeds have been shown to be beneficial, and you want to consume these for healthy fats and protein. And then you want to avoid problem foods. So any foods that you're specifically sensitive to, whether you've done a food sensitivity test or an elimination diet, just make sure that you're avoiding those foods. And then staying clear of processed foods. So consumption of trans fats have been shown to actually double the risk of infertility. Next tip is it takes two to tango. Infertility is often seen as a woman's problem. However, we must acknowledge that men play an equal and very significant role in conception. It's important to ensure that both the man and the woman are optimizing their fertility. Then it becomes a lot easier to make these changes a lifestyle rather than a chore. So again, together, eating fertility-friendly foods, removing alcohol, avoiding smoking, and making sure you guys are both being properly assessed if there are significant fertility issues. Timed intercourse is very important, as eggs are viable for fertilization 10 to 24 hours after they are released, and sperm is viable from 1 to 7 days in the vaginal canal, depending on the environment. My last but not least tip is sleep. So we want you to ditch the late nights. If you're looking to conceive, sleep is so important, and sleep dysregulation actually has been shown to suppress your reproductive hormones. Try relaxing in the evening, plan a somewhat regular sleep and wake time to try to keep your hormones stable. If you have any other questions or you're looking to conceive, do not hesitate to reach out. Thank you very, very much. This has been another episode of Health Hacks with Dr. Laura. This has been another episode of Health Hacks with Dr. Laura, a mini episode of the Well Women Podcast. Stay tuned for full episodes of the Well Women Podcast released every other Monday. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks.